Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Ooh, we got a lot to talk about today. Hey. Good morning, everyone. Yes, my morning has been crazy, and I've missed an hour of sleep. So what am I going to do? I'm going to put that intro back on so we can, like, vibe, and then I can get into it. I have my sip of my mimosa, and then I can start the show. Here we go. Let's see if it'll play again. Let's see. Wait. What's it doing? Wait. Hold on. There we go. There we go. Woo! Oh, it stopped. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Okay, my show. Good morning, everyone. I have so much to talk about. I have important stuff to talk about. I have breaking. Hold on, you know what? Hold on. I have a friend that does a radio show, and he'd be drinking coffee and stuff, and I think it's so annoying, but I'm going to have my mimosa because I need it. It is so good. If you don't know who I am, you'll find out by the middle of the show, because I ain't got time to tell you right now because I'm too excited about so many other things. I also want to give a shout out to Mr. Lee J, my cousin, who should be ironing. Go back a couple episodes to find out what that means and how important it is and how we keep our family and friends, I don't want to say the word alive because that'll make no sense when they've crossed over, right? But when we keep their energy in the proper space and place. Oh, I want to say hi to Mary. We're going to talk to Mary. Mary did her show last week, and she said some really heavy stuff, and she's been busy, and I have been busy, so I haven't had a chance to talk to her. But Mary, I hope you're willing to talk on the phone, or if you can, talk on the show today. But we'll get back to that. Welcome, everyone. Ooh. Well, I still haven't got a new headset. I knew anything. I swear that's going to happen before 2025. But today I'm going to talk about a couple of things, and I'm going to kind of do what I haven't done in a while. I'm going to use my type A personality and kind of give us a breakdown of what we're going to talk about so it's easy to follow. Oh, no, hell. It's just so I won't forget. First things first, I have a big announcement. Second thing, I want to talk about a couple of things that are important in reference to wills and trust and just things that we've all experienced, but we didn't know what to do with it and how to handle it. And I've had an opportunity to figure out how to navigate through the system of from caretaker to power of attorney to medical directive to the banks, how you handle that, to the finding care facilities and the emotional impact it takes on the individual moving the documents and the family and friends trying to support and the legal realm trying to navigate in areas of law that they're not familiar with. But people are looking for them to make help them make the best decisions that they possibly can. That's a heavy conversation, and it's an important conversation. And what I'm going to provide with is something I usually don't. I usually have an attitude about the industry, which I kind of still do. But ultimately, I'm going to provide you with proper steps if you're going through it. If you need help, do it. It's imperative. Every department does something different. They do not work together. They do not talk to each other. And you have to be the glue to get anything done. And it's difficult, costly. And attorneys that do probate and all these other areas of law, when you deal with particular things that I'm talking about, you're dealing with could be real estate, family law issues, criminal issues, fraud issues, and then you have to, certify your documents that would give you authorization to do anything during a time of crisis, and it is heavy. I have no idea how you make it easier, but I'm just going to give everyone the notations about how to do that. That's an important part of the show, and even for me. It's amazing. The more and more I start thinking about this law stuff, the more and more I do figure that it wasn't meant for laypersons to figure out the world. And it's not meant for you to figure out the world now. Just because you can Google something or think you know something, it doesn't work like that. It really, really doesn't. And I wish it did, because if it did, if there were some proper handlings of practices and procedures so that we could live an okay life after, taking care of our family after or during or whatever, this would be a different, we'd have a different thing going on, but we don't. And so attorneys that have a lot of the knowledge, it's not knowledge. They have the ability to know where to locate, find, analyze, and then, go ahead and enforce it. All we have that's anything different is the ability to know what we're looking for, to find the part of it that rides on our side, right? And then to ultimately execute it. And it's really kind of weird. But it's a heavy one. But before I do that, I don't have those buttons or people. Wait, I'll do my own announcements. And I know Mary's probably laughing her ass off. And Mr. King, hello. I have an announcement. Okay, for all the people in the music industry, don't hate me. Don't hate. Don't be afraid of AI. It's Shirley I. I got the music down. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Announcement. My baby gonna have a baby. Yes. Yes. Woo. Yeah, I must ask my other friends how to bring in the sound of but yes. Yes, although I was introduced to the exciting news a very strange way, because my son can just be a jerk on jerk on jerk. He was teasing me, yes, no, yes, no. And by the time he told me yes, I had blocked him and his wife and Jesus Christ if he was on the other side of the gosh dang phone call, because my son was playing with me. We're pregnant, we're not pregnant, we're pregnant. I'm old. I can't do that. I can't do that. But finally, actually, I did block him because I'm ignorant, because I thought they were playing with me. And he ultimately called Grams, my mom, and he wouldn't lie to my mom. And yes, they're expecting in September 2024. I have some friends that their birthdays are in September. So they're hoping, September 28th, there's these great numbers. But also, I want to add that Jackie is my son's wife, and my son, their birthdays are in September and October. So we're talking about, can you imagine the house of all Libras if it happens like that? It'd be a whole bunch of Zen. Yes, Daddy. No, Daddy. Yes, Mommy. What should we do, wife? I don't know. These fucking, if you know anything about cancers, they're just the scales of life until they get pissed and until it rattles a little bit. We are not balanced family. Let's all, when they have their next kid, I hope it's a Taurus like me. don't ask where I got that from. But anyway, they're having a baby girl, and I'm sure they're going to name the baby girl Sexy Shirley. I doubt it very seriously. I don't even know what it's going to be like. It's really funny. My son and I have, if you guys know, we have a very strange relationship. In fact, it's probably, that's another story. I don't even know if the boy likes me half the time. I have to check. Did I give birth to that little asshole sometime, to be perfectly honest? But he's a man. He's a great man. He's doing great things. He just got to get it together with me, and I got to get it together with him. But more importantly, I'm so excited for these two. I mean, they did it what we call right, such as they went to school. They met in high school. They did all their bad stuff during, you know, the college years. They stuck together. You know, Quan purposely didn't introduce her to me. And they've been dating for 12 years. He didn't really introduce her to me and probably his family until like 6 years in. And she's still around. It's pretty amazing. They went to college together, and then, you know, during COVID, they looked at what they were doing, and, you know, she was working with children, and, you know, because that's her degree, and he was an insurance investigator, one of the high tops. You know, he was the one that looks for fraud, by the way. Don't fuck around, because I asked Quan many a times which attorneys are being investigated, and he would not give me the list of attorneys because he's ethical and righteous. Anyway, during COVID, they both looked at each other and said, no, I'm going to do what I really want to do. Quan decided to go into training for and became a firefighter. Shortly after getting permanently placed on in a fire department in downtown, he ultimately looked at some other options. He's in his early 30s. At the time he started to become a firefighter. By the way, it takes a couple years, 3 years. I think like a year to train, a year to get into the academy and do your thing, and then a year after that probation, and you bounce around to different stations, which means you could be fired any moment. Those are heavy years. So when he finally got on the department, I think a year ago, or I can't quite remember. Anyway, when he finally got in the department, he started looking around for other options and doing that, and he chose to become a paramedic, a firefighter paramedic, which is kind of like you get out there and you can kind of do both, although normally they want the paramedics to be, you know, to stand by as a fireman, fire persons, whatever, bring down injured folks. But if they ever need him, he could do both. One of the reasons for all those who want to be firefighters or work in construction, one of the main reasons my son said he didn't like doing it is because, of course, during a fire, it's very dangerous. You have all these different fumes and poisons in the air and so on and so forth. But after a fire, they have to go into some of the walls sometime. I don't know the procedures for it or whatever the case may be, but that's where the asbestos really hide. And they do that to find out things or whatever. And if you're a newbie, that's your job for the first year or two. It's kind of like go in and break down those walls. And my son was like, I am too old to be taking this in. A lot of firefighters begin when they're in their early 20s. So he started late. He said, forget that. I'm going to be a paramedic. Paramedics make a lot of money. And he's doing amazing. They get married, you know, and that was right. And by this time, they're doing all this good stuff, and I was simply going, could you guys be irresponsible? I want to be a grandma. And they're like, who says that? Me, because I'm ignorant. His wife did the same thing after he finally got through the firefighter academy. I do believe at that time or during that time, they supported each other. She went back to Mount St. Mary's, I guess, nursing school. She took that year off. She worked really, really hard. And now she is a nurse, and she works with at the Children's Hospital downtown with neonatal little babies. And they waited a year, and they did it right. Now, oh, and then they're going to buy the house. In fact, they even got the car for the kids. I mean, this righteousness is crazy. It's really important because one thing my son was talking to us, and this is going to go into the second category here. He came to the house. They didn't necessarily tell me they were pregnant at the time, but he brought a new, like, really cool, like, Lexus or BMW type fucking amazing truck. And I'm like, y'all's only two of you, right? I should have known then. But anyway, he was talking to my brother and my sister and my mother about his prospects and buying property. Again, just because they have a lot of money, they bring in a lot of money for a young couple, you know, and they're, I think she's barely 30 and he's in his mid-30s or I don't know, whatever. But anyway, they were talking about their opportunities with buying homes, with all the different benefits and different programs he was entitled to. And they were talking about the long run. And they were having real conversations about money, real conversations about the children and where they wanted to live and just real stuff that I think we've lost in a few generations due to just the change of life. I mean, no, when my mom was married to one of her husbands, she knows she had like 15, but the okay. Yeah, she had about four for reals. But growing up, you know, they all had really good jobs. They had benefits. They did this and that. They got a pin. They retired, and everyone started to go on a cruise after that, and their kids grew up and got the house. You know how it all worked. Well, it's different now. And to hear my son having that conversation with my family about just some options. And his whole thing was, you know, if we can knock it out in 10 years, you know, I've never heard anyone talk about a home per se, like, let's just do this in 10 years, we'll double up, and, you know, we won't eat, but, you know, we'll own the home, we can flip the home, we got the children, and da-da-da. So that was that was amazing. And I witnessed that, and I kind of came to the room where I'm with my mom, and I said, well, let me see, how much insurance do I have and what do I have? And I just happen to have a job, and you get $100,000 accidental, and then you get $300,000 life. Don't be trying to kill me, folks. Okay. Don't do it. Don't do it. But let's go into that. So we're going to kind of merge into the importance of what I was talking about is preparing for, they call it the afterlife. I'm calling it preparing for life. Okay, so right now, we're moving into this. So my son's awesome. They're going to have a baby, and they are planning accordingly. There's only two people in this whole world that I know that works in that mannerism. One is Mr. King, and the other is my mom. Me, I'm in trouble. Okay, so I find out, I get my benefits, and I find out there's a $300,000 life insurance policy you just get on general principle for working for this crazy law firm. And then there's $100,000 you get accidental insurance, and you pay like a dollar or two, and it's not a lot. And so I get this notification, Ms. Shepherd, you are entitled to XYZ, and we need beneficiaries. Now, let me tell you what I did initially, because this is important. This is an important part of being ignorant when you're alive. I was mad at my son. I said, he ain't getting shit. That he ain't talk to me. He ain't getting nothing. This money ain't good. And my mom, you have to understand, I live with her. I think sometimes she want to put my ass out. I think it's children abuse. I mean, in the adulthood. She's looking at me, and I'm like, he's a bastard. He's not doing it. And she's just looking at me. She said, okay, well, calm down. She said, calm down. You can put my name on it. And I'm like, oh, yes, yes. She said, girl, don't worry about it. I got it. Which means, you guys, you know what it means without me having to share that. She's like, she got it. I was like, wait. But ultimately, what she was saying when I calmed down, she said, ain't no money going to be left on no table. I don't give two dams and a donut. I've been using that lately. Don't ask where it comes from. Two dams and a donut. But she said, what I would do if you are so insistent that your son does not deserve this or his children or his future children, I didn't know anything about the grands, then, you know, you're an idiot. Okay, and that's fine. What I'm going to do, you can put it in my name. As soon as you put it in my name, I'm going to refer it to my living trust. I'm like, you got a living trust? She said, nigga, fuck with me. It will be your dead trust. Okay, so we, you know, boom. Yeah. she said, because, see, I don't do things on emotion, and I'm 80-something years of age. We stopped, I think, 83 now. She goes, I'll be damn though. You're not going to tell me you got $400,000 and you mad at your little son today. And he or whoever would miss out on it because someone in this family would be entitled to that. So get it right. And move out if you don't get it right. She said, you owe me money anyway for life, right? So that was the beginning of me understanding. A lot of times we do stuff on emotion. I'm telling you, I was like, I'm not giving my son anything. And, you know, she's like, oh, okay, you know, that's just stupid. Let's not roll with emotions. Okay? If you're married or if you have a kid and you don't like the kid or whatever, you know, figure it out. Put it in a trust. Direct the trust to go somewhere. And I don't really know much about that, but we're going to talk about it. But I was going to literally throw away life insurance and accidental insurance, and I better not die accidentally. That's $400,000, $300,000 if it's just you just out the dough. But waste putting money on the table because I'm pissed off. I don't give a fuck if my son talks to me. This is the real world. That nigga going to need one day, if something happened to me, money. That's what this world's about. And regardless if he likes me or not, I did give birth. I do remember. I got to check that every other week, though, because that nigga be tripping, and I love him. But can you imagine the Rothschilds saying, I'm mad at Peter so he doesn't get my millions, and I'm, what the fuck? Peter, get over it. No, that money's going to roll through. In fact, I'm mad at Peter. He's going to have to go get 14 degrees before he gets his money, but he's going to get his money. You understand the importance of directive. I always think about when it comes to money, we always talk about generational wealth and what that looks like. I'm going to give you a scenario what it looks like because I didn't understand it 5 years ago when I was driving up or down the 405 freeway, which a lot of times you start crying, so you start looking around. And the J. Paul Getty, we have a beautiful museum, which is absolutely free and on the top of the hill, and I've never been there. Why? I have no idea. It's just J. Paul Getty said, I don't give a fuck if I'm saying it right. I could be saying it wrong. So I did some research when I was watching one day. I was watching something about people that have a lot of money and how did it work and what are they doing. And I'm just going to summarize it. They're directing shit from the grave. Like I said, If J. Paul gets one of his kids in Accra, he's like, y'all going to have to go to law school, start, be in politics, be a doctor, be a lawyer before you're 40. And then if you do that, then I give you $1 billion and then you set up, you know, he dictates from the grave. We talking about generational wealth, and here I have a life insurance policy of disown and disavow. Okay, hold on. So the Rothschilds do disown and disavow. Mr. King, he knows more about that. So I'm not sure completely what that means, but if he wants to speak on it, I would love it. Oh, it means wealth. Okay. So they do that. Okay, and in fact, the person that started talking about generational wealth and helped me understand this was Mr. J. King. If you guys don't know Mr. J. King, he's with Club Nouveau, by the way. Side note, got a new song, new album. He's really doing he's one of my best worst enemies. You know, we like totally fight, but he's really fun and he's really doing a lot of things on Facebook. It's under J. King Network, Blog Talk. You guys really listen to it because he does a lot of different things. And, oh, in fact, he wants to be on the show. Hold on, boys and girls. Wait. Okay. My ignorant ass can't find the right mouse. I got too many mouses on my desk. So anyway, I'm going to allow Mr. King to come in and help with this topic. And this is so cool. So let me let him in. Mr. King?
You're so funny. Okay, so you said that that you know. So first of all, it's goofy for you to say you're not going to leave the money to Quan because you're mad at it today. Because tomorrow you won't be mad at it. It's just that thing with you. But as it relates to the Rothschilds and people like that, they have disowned, disavowed, disinherited their, younger generations because money becomes that valuable to them. They don't, money is something that they're just used to having. They don't know how to be without money. They've never been without money and will never be without money just because they're baked into the capitalistic system that is America. So that becomes what's important to them. Quan, on the other hand, being your only child, you know, it's not just leaving, you're not just leaving something to him, but you're leaving it to his children, which are your grandchildren. And you never know what happens with that money, what they do with it, but it could be the catalyst of what creates generational wealth. Because we're really the first generation that have the capability to leave generational wealth. This is where it starts. This is what our generation, I believe. So, you know, by denying that part of your legacy, you would be literally just shooting your own self in the foot, or anybody, not just you, just anyone who would deny a family member or a child the ability to get a leg up in case of the demise of that person, you know, the death. That unfortunate thing should happen. Also, you know, if something should happen to you that didn't kill you, but somebody would have to take care of you, it would be your son. He wouldn't let you just perish or dwindle away. And if he tried to, his wife wouldn't. That just wouldn't happen. I don't see that happening with parents and children unless, you know, they've been deprived, you know, in a very negative way. And that's not you and Quan's issue. Quan's issue is that he's very consistent at movement and what he's doing. And you've had a problem with consistency.
Thank you, Jay. You're right, though.
I just wanted to say that.
I know.
But you're
true.
But yeah, I would be disappointed if you didn't leave. Your financial legacy. You know, to him, I would be disappointing because, looking at the picture clear, and you know the disparity report because you've heard us talk about it. The disparity report says we'll be at zero wealth by 2053 if we don't change the direction we're going in now. That's 29 years. So, of course, our jobs are to get us back on course. And that might be one of those course correctors, where you can leave hundreds of thousands of dollars to your offspring. That's a pretty significant amount of money to leave to somebody, that's tax-free, that doesn't have a burden on it, that can either get them out of debt, get them into some land or a home or start a business or whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Okay. I'm listening. I'm going back on mute.
Wait. Thank you. Could you take a minute and talk about how you share with us, and thank you regarding Little Quan. He knows. Yeah. About generational wealth. And can you give a definition of what that looks like? Because what I'm trying to do next is talk about the probate or the change or the directives. But explain how you are seeing generational wealth, what the numbers are and where you get those numbers from, and just give us a little bit of information as to how we can start if we haven't, please.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different reports that are out there. A lot of different studies have been done. So you can see that even though in the past African-Americans only invest at about 3%, but we spend on a per capita basis, we outspend everybody. Nobody spends more than we do on per capita. In other words, based on the amount of money we have, we spend most of what we have. And nobody invest less than we do. Again, meaning whatever money we do have, we invest the least amount of it that's investable. When we do invest, we invest in cryptocurrency more than anybody. 29% African American are invested in cryptocurrency, 17% Latin America, 11% white America. So, and it's because the gateway to entry is easier, it's lower, but it's speculation. So, a lot of people lose a lot of money speculating on hitting a lick. Now that's more like gambling as opposed to investing in the stock market where, you can buy one or two different stocks at a time, instead of going to the club, maybe drinking coffee. Take your club and coffee money and you start buying stocks a little bit at a time. And you don't buy stocks to sell them. You buy them to hold them. So you really buy things that we're using like Apple and Google and Amazon, Tesla. These are stocks that aren't going anywhere. That's what's they're driving the market. Nvidia, Netflix. And you buy a little bit at a time. So I think when we talk about generational wealth, we look at it as this thing that you got to have a bunch of money in order to start generational wealth, and you got to invest a lot of money, and that's not true. You can just nickels and dimes and pennies and quarters are, essential to investing. So I was just looking at my Acorn account the other day. And I have about $5,000 in Acorn. And Acorn is just change. That's just when I have change. And it'll round up, 5 cents or a dime. So that just happens every month. I have a and then I have my Coinbase account. I bought the Shiba coin at 0.00009, you know, and now that's at 0.00003. So it's grown by 300%.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, so do you take the money out or do you hold it? It's speculation. So you got to decide what's comfortable for you. I leave it there because I don't look at that money. I don't look at any money I have in the market as money I'm going to spend. That's just money that's going to grow. Acorn is not money that I spend. Coinbase is not money that I spend. Robinhood is not money that I spend. It's just money that just grows. And so you got to decide what's comfortable for you. If it's $100 a month, if it's $10 a week, whatever, and just decide that you're going to, start putting money away and investing in your future so that you don't struggle. Most people struggle when they get in their 60s. They struggle because, they're not working anymore and they have to live off of a fixed income. Probably SSI is some type of retirement thing. And it's a fraction of what they're used to making, but their bills haven't gone down. So, generational wealth, before we even get to the conversation of generational wealth, we got to get to the habit of investing. I think you take it one step at a time, and over time you start to learn the rest of it. It's like doing math. You don't start off learning calculus or algebra. You start off learning adding and subtracting, division and multiplication.
I'm still at the fractions.
Yeah.
I still can't get it together. But I'm glad that you talked about a couple of things. I'm going to move into the importance of people understanding that you have these particular things, avenues to money, because is it written down? Is it in your will? Is it in your directive? Is it in your power of attorney? How do they find out what you have if for some reason it's not? And those are some of the issues that I have had an opportunity to work into this week. So I hope you continue to listen to the show and pop in anytime you want, because I'm going to share some things that I saw dealing in California with how to get information, how to get things certified, how to get accounts changed over based on a power of attorney. Is that cool? Can you stay on the line?
Yeah, I'm driving my dad. Okay, well, cool. I gotta order some food for my dad in a minute, but yeah, until I do that.
Yeah. Okay, great, because I know you're with your dad. I also want to tell you guys once again.
No, I'm not winning yet, but I'm on my way.
Okay, no problem. And by the way, again, I mentioned that is Mr. Jay King. He's a California Black Chamber of Commerce president-CEO. He's also a good friend of mine, and he's also Club Nouveau. Look at all these rumors. Every day. Okay, that's why I'd be kicked off my own show. So the reality, we talked about, and I was out there saying, forget my study, getting on my damn nerves, you don't get nothing. That didn't make no damn sense. However, let's be real, I was being honest. I was real, the boy broke my heart. He stakes breaking my heart. He makes a lot of money. He don't need my little money. If something happened to me, he ain't going to do nothing for me. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. Because that's what he shares sometimes in his actorisms, if we can use that. But I'm putting it out there because if you ever thought how you're not going to do something for someone, based on emotions, and, maybe I'm the only one in the world that have that issue or who's being real about it, don't do that. Really don't do it. And just like Mr. King was saying, you never know what's going to happen technically in anyone's life that you may share monies to. It can completely bless them. It can continue with what they're doing. It can also, there's children involved, other family, so on and so forth. But let's get into why that was a topic this week. Okay, as I am not allowed to, nor would I ever tell anyone else's business, but I can tell the happenings around it and what I learned and what my part of it was. There was a situation wherein a friend of mine, I messed that up. There was a situation where a parent was being cared for and things did not go the way they should. Just things kind of really went bad. As a result, the father was at the hospital. People live out of town. They come and they want to check out what the hell's going on. And then upon arrival, they decide we need to make some immediate change. By the way, if you guys can hear my mom, you hear her? Can you hear? Because I can hear her. And I can't get up and get away from my computer. So that's mother back there gossiping. But, you know, she's sounding super healthy. Right on. So she can talk as loud as she wants. Anyway, so you come into town. There's a situation. You got to make some moves. You got to make some moves like, okay, what decision do I make under these circumstances? These are urgent circumstances. These are circumstances that immediate decisions have to be made because there's health issues at issue. I mean, you know, everything's just moving really fast. What the hell do you do? This particular situation, we had documents in place. This is what gets me. This particular situation had documents in place to cover all this shit if it happens. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My mother's still loud. Lord, I apologize. Anyway, so what we had when it all came down, because when you go to the hospital and there's not a directive in place and there is someone who is in need of someone to speak on their behalf under any and all given circumstances, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everyone that goes to the hospital before you go, even if you're with Kaiser, any hospital right now, you have insurance, please go into your portal and set up a medical directive. Okay, the medical directive is if I'm incapacitated or if I'm in a situation like this, I would like someone to speak on my behalf because he or she knows my wishes under these circumstances because we talked about it prior to it happening. Okay, everyone do that. I get to do that when I get off the phone. Here's the second part of that we learned. A directive means absolutely fudging nothing if after a person is in a situation where they can't really care for themselves. So you're telling the hospital what to do. The directive is you listen to me when I make decisions for that person over there. And usually everyone thinks the directive is, oh, should we pull the plug or not? Yeah, that's not quite it, boys and girls. So the directive is I tell the hospital, don't do shit for my parent unless I tells you to. And the hospital's like, well, the person's not, your parent isn't necessarily dead, but there's really not much we can do. We need to transfer this person to a facility that would XYZ. Okay, we good. We got that. Then you realize that your insurance you had forever doesn't cover your a possibility of having to transfer a parent to a care facility. And if you really want a good one in California, for sure, you're coming out $3,500 before you can even look into certain places or even $5,000. Okay. So you're like, good, I got this. You know, I got money. I got this. I even have, check this out. I have the directive. I have the power of attorney now. We're going to look at the power of attorney because my parents or this particular situation, they took care. They had power of attorney, two powers of attorneys, which is kind of really weird. If you're married, you don't need that. But these people who did these particular documents milked the situation, and that's why I don't like lawyers right now. So we have each parent had their own power of power of attorney. They had each had their own will and trust. They each had their community property, which – oh, wait, they had their last will and testament, each of them. Then they had a trust. Then once they had the trust, they had a document that was the community property that was described in the trust. And then they had a certification that the trust was the trust. Okay, all that times two. I'm going to tell you right now, that's like an $8,000 job. And the person that, you know, did it was the attorney, the notary, and the witness. We'll talk about that another time. So anyway, we're like, okay, all right, I got this. I know this. I'm going to figure this out. The hospital kept calling saying, you know, we've got to make some decisions here. We're like, well, we can't because this power of attorney is not working. You guys, look at every power of attorney. Again, you have a directive telling the hospital. But that's all. The hospital is waiting for you. But the hospital also is a business, and I don't even need to say what they're trying to do because that's just not my area, but we all know. So you're like, okay, hospital, I'll be right back. I have a directive for my parents. I now have the power of attorney. I'm going to go, and I'm going to utilize this power of attorney so I can stand in the shoes of and speak on their on their behalf in case they cannot, they become incapacitated or whatever. I am now, it's right here. It was notarized. My mom, my dad signed it. I'm going to go walk and say, I now stand in the shoes of my parent that's in the hospital. And guess what they said? You go to direct, you know, you, so you go, you're like, I'm going to go check out these nursing facilities or these care facilities. I'm going to go to the bank. I got all this. Oh, by the way, you don't even have an original of the power of attorney because it was done over 15 years ago, right? So read the power of attorney. Let me tell you why. It goes hand in hand with the medical directive 90% of the time. Somewhere in paragraph 1 and or in paragraph 2, it will say something. Please get a letter from who the doctor that has claimed who the person you're standing in the shoes for or of is incapacitated, cannot take care of him or herself. That's number one. So now my dog's acting a fool. Sorry about that. So what we have now is like, wait a minute, I gave you the directive. Now you're telling me the power of attorney. It's been notarized. What are you talking about? I don't have to do all that. Don't argue. When you go to the hospital and you know you have a power of attorney, you immediately ask the admitting doctor, because it might not be at your home hospital, okay? It might be somewhere else. The admitting physician who has decided to hospitalize the parent, or yeah, this is just a parent, or whoever in that particular situation, and you ask the doctor, is this person able to make decisions on their own? And if the doctor is going to say absolutely, probably not under certain circumstances, but they'll say, but I can't tell you that. So here's a better way to tell, ask the hospital, hey, would you like me to make a decision regarding my parent that's sitting in here and you guys really want them to be moved because there's not more that you can do for them? Yes. Then you better write me a letter saying that I have the authority to do that. You're like, what are you talking about? In the power of attorney, if you look at it, anytime you're standing in the shoes of someone, there needs to be documentation to justify that. And simply, but yet complicatedly, maybe that word, a doctor will have to look at the totality of the immediate circumstances and make a determination. They're going to put their license on the line to say, I certify that so-and-so and so-and-so cannot take care of him or herself, and therefore I will honor the power of attorney, which puts them, you know, puts the other person who is named in charge. If a doctor takes more than 15 minutes, give him grace. More than 30 minutes, give them grace. Even an hour, give them grace. I mean, almost to a day, because they ain't going to take a day. Because when they need to move patients out, they're not going to take a day. But I'm telling you guys, don't rush a fucking doctor, because he is standing in the shoes of the person that is the patient. And doctors get sued 24 hours a day. So he has to go back into his notes. When someone is admitted to the hospital, it ain't as easy as, oh, do this, do that. No, 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 the documentation. There are the procedures. You guys don't see it. I worked at a hospital. I read hospital records 24 hours a day. There's a whole happening. There's an admitting doctor, this and that. They contact your doctor. It's a mess. So first of all, they have to find the right doctor. And the right doctor usually will be that emergency room doctor who is now, because they work 24 hours, 78 hours, probably off. And he had admitted or worked on several people during his, you know, his time on, right? You have to find the doctor. And the doctor's immediate writing when that person is admitted is, it will say, there will be boxes, incapacitated, whatever the case may be. Oh, my God, this is not looking good. And my mother's still talking loud. I cannot wait to tell her she's on the show inadvertently, if you guys can hear her. But anyway, so... Then, you say the ER doctor, whoever calls the ER doctor, okay, your shit is real, right? So then it has to go past muster. Because now that you're asking for documentation to prove that someone is in a legal inability to take care of themselves, now we got the legal involved. The hospital will be like, oh, with all due respect, we got to make sure these things that are entered in are right, or if we haven't, that we enter this information in, okay? Hospitals don't necessarily have time to think about the legalities until they're looking them in the face. Here, hold on. Mary, if you're listening, can you tell me if you can hear my mom? Because if so, I'm going to have to go and tell her to keep it down. At some point, it's crazy. Okay. So ultimately, after they do the research and after they deal with the numbers, I mean, not numbers, after they deal with the facts, the next thing they do is sign off on the power of attorney. The power of attorney now becomes activated. Woo, you are ready. So now you guys, the directive, the power of attorney. I, you know, if something happens to me, I would like Quan to step in my shoes. Quan says, okay, we have the power of attorney, which is outside of the medical directive. Those are two different things. Power of attorney should be matched with your will, your trust, and so on and so forth. But the power of attorney, if you have nothing more, that power of attorney is simply, even if you don't have a trust, if you don't have $2, but you might have, like Mr. King said, an Acorn or, I don't know, Coinbase account or whatever, that power of attorney is imperative to handle what you might think is nothing. But when you are not able to take care of yourself, your ATM card, your bank account, so on and so forth are key. But you can't just walk into the bank now with the power of attorney, what has a backing of the doctor. Because we tried. Oh, here's my information. Well, this was notarized over 15 years ago. Yeah, and so what? It's still good. I can't find the original, because who the hell can find originals these days anyway? But guess what they tell you? Well, we can't touch this until this is what? Notarization, whatever, is certified. What the fuck is my language? It just so happens with my 47 jobs and the inability to stay consistent with anything, I was a notary in my time. I never thought this information would be important. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Let me look up the Notary Association, da-da-da, how do you certify, but, and it turned out that what you have to do now with your power of attorney, with the documentation from the doctor, no one will question the documentation from the doctor. It's the power of attorney, the certification of that. If it's not notarized in the first place, then you can't even roll with it. That's just stupid. That's not going to happen. Okay, but it does notarize, you have to go get that certified. And how do you do that? You go to the county recorder's office that's in your area. You call. If you don't know how to do that and you forget everything that I'm saying, then hold on 1 second. Dirk, could you close my door? Because Mom's talking so loud, I don't know if it can be heard or not. Okay, thank you. So where were we? So you go to the county recorder's office, and the county recorder's office, you're thinking, well, what are they going to do and why are they going to do it? What they're going to do is, if you guys look at the notary stamp and so on and so forth, every year a notary has to submit their, we call them books at the time. I don't know if any of you guys remember getting something notarized. It was unnecessary, big-ass book, and we started from the left to the right because, like I said, I was a notary. Even if I knew you, I needed your ID. I needed this. I needed that. You know, now it's probably done differently because it's electronically. Every year we had to turn in our books and our stamps and, you know, whatever, and we would mail it up to Sacramento, and Sacramento in the old days would put it in the system or scanner or however it works. So therefore, when you go to the county recorder's office, they look up the notary's information, and what will they do? They can certify the notary. Yeah. So the certification, you'll get a cover page saying it's certified, and in the back, you'll get a stamp, and that stamp is usually like a purple or a dark blue. I don't know what color it is, but that is your original certified copy. Then in California, you got to pay them $178, $140-some-odd. It's a lot of money to get one document certified, which is ridiculous, okay? But you have to do it. So now we have the medical directive. The hospital's waiting for you to make a decision based now with your power of attorney that we had to go and get what? Make sure a doctor notification was on the back of it and that it was a certified, the notary was certified. Again, if it wasn't notarized, just the party is over, we go a whole different round. Okay, so now what can you start doing? You can start contacting other facilities and trying to get if the parent needs to be moved into another location in order for proper care. Now you're ready. You're rolling. So you get to the care provider and they're like, oh, this is great. You're saying how much a month? And they're like, well, it's based on, you know, the parent's income. Well, you haven't lived with the parent for a whole bunch of, you know, you're like, I don't know what the income is. But, you know, let's keep in mind that you will still have, well, it's, everything now is online with your banking. Back in the day, it wasn't. So ultimately, you can go in, and especially when they're retired, there's direct deposits. So now you go to the bank and you're like, you know what, I need to know how much money, you know, the person that I'm standing in the shoes of is making, because I need to see if he qualifies for these facilities. Even if they're $5,000 a month facilities, there's still something with being able to qualify, because Medicare at some level kicks in. I don't know how that works. But if you're super, super rich, you don't have to worry about that. So you say, I'm going to go to the bank, and I'll be right back, care people. Because, again, they can't do anything until they know how much money they're going to get. It's a business. But why they're doing that, you give them authorization through what is called a HIPAA form. You give every care facility that you think, or maybe just one, and you begin to let them have conversations with the facility, the hospital that the parent is at, because you're hoping there's going to be a graceful transfer. Okay, that's the HIPAA. And they will do that. Care facility do that with the hospital because the hospital has a medical directive. They've seen the power of attorney. And they see that the doctor says this is, you know, whatever. The care facility is ready. They just want to know you got the money. Okay? So that's why you're like, why do these other facilities talk to each other or companies and not this one? So the hospital is going to talk to the caretaker and going to start the HIPAA information. That means don't look at 27 different places. Look at a few and make a decision. You should be looking at good facilities before you have to make a sudden decision. I never thought about that. Whether it's a care facility for myself or for someone else, start looking at them now. Okay, why? Because when there's a certain situation that happens, you can go to that facility and say, you know, I remember. And you keep an eye on them. Are they still in business? What's going on? Who would have thought about that? Okay, I didn't. It just so happens this particular one, it was a brand new one. And a lot of people are starting businesses that pertain to these type of facilities, really great facilities. And the one we're talking about is a mansion here nor there. So they're already doing their work. But ain't nobody talking to you about the account, the bank accounts. But guess what you got? You are going to go to the bank and say, da-da, I'm the power of attorney for my XYZ, and I need to see all the accounts. They say, sit your ass down. Who are you? You're like, what? Well, you say, well, you know, I got this power of attorney notarized, and everything's fine. Well, in certain circumstances, there will be an attorney that will do two separate power of attorneys, one for the mother and one for the father. Don't ever let them do that. It should say, if something happens here, it goes to there. It doesn't. You shouldn't have two separate ones because guess what the bank said? Yeah, this particular power of attorney, it's not going to be effective. And the reason being is because the wife is no longer alive. So we need now her death certificate. What? Oh, and while you're at the county recorder's office, we need to have her power of attorney certified, another hundred and some odd dollars, right? Because the father or the husband, it doesn't kick in because they're two separate documents. So the happening of the wife has to transfer over to the husband who is alive. Oh, God. You're like, what? And then you go back to the county recorder's office and you say, you know what? I had three things notarized and they're all wrong and I need this one notarized. And I was just here this morning. And can I get credit? Hell no. That's a good question though, right? Hell no. So make sure you know what documents or you believe to your best ability what documents you should have notified. If you have a circumstance where you have two sets of power of attorney and one of the parents are no longer living and you're caring for the second one, whoever did that, when you see two separate ones, the first one has to be completed in order for the second one to become activated in order for the child or the person, you know, standing in the shoes of can even get authorization. So what was happening here is the mother, when she passed, her power of attorney power went to the father. The person now is in the shoes of the father at the bank trying to get the father's information. Well, the bank was the only one that says, we got to shut down the mother situation. We don't have her death certificate. And we're sitting there going, but she's been gone for a minute and she's been with your bank for 40 years. Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you. Don't get upset. They don't even know what they're doing either. Okay. So again, please do not get two separate power of attorneys because normally when people are married, it just defaults into the next person, which would have meant only one power of attorney should have been needed to be certified. Okay, we go back. We try to ask for some money because it's just getting stupid. They say no. Go back to the bank with every power of attorney, every directive, every letter, you know, now we're ready. Okay, we now want to have access because we need to see what's going on. Not only that, we got to tell these people how much money, you know, we're making. This is crazy. Or my parent, the person I'm standing in the shoes is making. Yeah, there's a problem. Huh? The wife is still on the account. But by this time, if it wasn't for me understanding that this things like this happened, I believe that the person I was helping was going to just jump right off a bridge at this level. The pressure is fudging on. hospital, I'm sorry, we can't do anything more. It needs to, like, it's PT. We did the surgery. You need to move into PT because we don't do physical therapy here. The physical therapy, I'm just going to use that. That's better than saying the caregiver stuff. The physical therapy is like, hey, we ready for homie, but y'all got to pay us. The bank is like, well, we can't because your mother, you know, that person, that, yeah, you know, you need more documents. And that's all in 1 or 2 days. So you're getting a little defeated. And you have to regroup. What do you do? There are facilities that are out there under circumstances of caregiving that are not very good, but they're 100% covered by Medicare. Yeah. They're not very nice. But sooner or later, the hospital is a business and will do what they need to do to continue their business ship, which I don't think is necessarily cool. Well, what do? You have everything. You're like, this is so fudged. I have everything. Just go back to the bank. The next time you go back to the bank, when they want you to get something, you tell them to write it down on their letterhead. Send you an email. Because then you can go to the county recorder's office and you can say, this is what the bank says I need. In fact, when we went back the time, the county recorder's office said, tell them to stop. There is nothing more we can give them. Tell them to start doing their job. And when we went back, we told the bank, start doing your job. There's nothing more. And they started to do the work. It took about 3 days. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know what you're doing, it's going to take years. Have that shit together if you can. And I think I'll probably work with Mr. King or somebody coming up with a quick just pointers, because this is what I've learned. Okay, so now we're ready. We know about how much money, you know, our parents making. We contacted the facility and we're like, boom, we got the money, but it's on hold. The facility at this time has already talked to the hospital, has already known that you're earmarking some money to them, and they now need a patient because they're getting paid not only from you, but a different, you know, different mannerisms, which is really not your business or your worry, okay? They're just doing what they're going to do. Okay, fine. The show might go a little longer. I put it for 90 minutes, but I'll probably shut off any time before that. Okay, so they're ready. Hospital is going to transfer, boom, and you're going to go to the facility. As you finally see whoever you're standing in the shoes of, the totality of what could be happening, whether it's physical therapy for a hip or knee, or whether it's bed sores. You get to see it for the first time outside of the dim lights of the hospital that doesn't necessarily want patients or families to see the truth of what's happening there. But you take them to this facility that has a window, and you begin to see the colors of the person you're standing in the shoes of. And for the first time, you might get a little worried, or not. If it's a hip, you might get a little worried, because if I get my hip, y'all, it's going to take forever. But you get worried. And now you're like, you thought you could relax. And now you got these people. Sign this document. Sign this document. Something happens to this person. Sign this document. Sign this document. Sign this document. And you want to throw up. And so you sign. And then you go home. And every minute there's a call coming from different areas, whether it's the bank, whether it's this, whether it's that, where it's family, whether it's... One thing I learned, when something happens like this, please find people to help. When a facility had to be found under these particular circumstances, it was like, okay, everybody go to the left, to the right, and come to the middle. You got until 5 o'clock. You got to roll it like that. It's too heavy to do it alone. And the person that's doing the legal part of it, with all due respect, as I was handling this, it's heavy on us, too. It's heavy if I knew the person or not, because I don't have the answers. I don't know what the county recorder's office is going to say, per se, but at least I'm giving you guys my experience, and please put it in your books. So that was fine, and we're still waiting now for authorization to go through all of the financial records, just to find out when monies were coming in and to realize when we can earmark money and can he afford it. Well, in the midst of all that, I did mention at the beginning that the person was in the hospital because of negligence when it came to treatment. So we have investigators now. Elder abuse is real. It's real. It's fucking real. And hospitals, as they are on duty or responsible for child abuse, other things like that, when a hospital sees something and you see shit, you have a duty. But we'll get back to the hospital in a minute. So where are we at? So we also find out that there's money. Someone called, someone had, and so-and-so left money, so-and-so. What? So we're dealing with now, we have attorneys from out of town, and we have trustees, I guess, who are saying, hey, we have money. And we're like, okay, that's good. We can use this money, especially because we're waiting for this other money to be released, and we can use it. This is great. You have money sitting there, and then all of a sudden you have to do these things. You have to scan the power of attorney, the directive, this and that. And then once you scan it to them, you got to put a hard copy in them. And then once they send you an agreement by way of scan, you got to get it signed and notarized or whatever the case may be. People, they just happen to know us. So we were able to, not have to do the notary part, but we still had to get it signed and get it back. Now, I wonder if you're coming from, you're not even living in the state. You don't have your home office or even your office to do some of that scanning and mailing and shit, right? What do you do? Well, there's Staples and Maples and Naples. That's true. But we have to figure that out. But I was able to take care of that. So then when they say, okay, well, you're entitled to all the money. This has been a day. It took us like a day. Everyone was really working quickly, not because they were screaming and hollering, because I just knew how to talk to people. Okay, well, we got everything. A check will be sent to you we're sending it out today. Well, hold up. I live in a different state. The person I am standing in the shoes of lives in, this state, and we need it now. Well, we have to send a check. Never be afraid to say, under these circumstances, we need some electronic money, because these people at this care facility right here, over here in this corner, they want their money now. Never, ever be afraid to say that. Even when you don't think it's going to happen, because it happened. They said, well, we'll give you half. And the second half, you tell us if you want a check or if you want us to, send it Zelle. We were still didn't have access necessarily to the banking account, so you still didn't know. But that money paid for that first month. You didn't have that. The caretaker owner going, where's the money? Because they could do that. It's a job. Okay, you guys, so I went through all of that. And there's one more level, but we'll talk about it another day, but it's real. Wonder if the person responsible to care for the person, is it your parent or whoever, failed to do as they should have under the guidance of here's things you do to care for a person in this particular, whatever, financial, so on and so forth. So then you find out, oh, this is some things are a little weird here in the accounting. And then you find out that there was such negligence when it came to the care for the person you're standing in the shoes of, that you're like, you know what? Person can benefit anymore. No. I'm going to have to do some legal stuff. I'm going to have to look into, what was I telling you earlier? The duty. The duty to report something is not right. And I want everyone to know these days, elder abuse is being called in to question probably as much as child abuse and all that other stuff. So there are investigators. So now we have another level, and it's criminal. And you're looking kind of at your records going, got another level, possible fraud. And the levels of these things would be okay if you didn't possibly know the person or even be related to the person, but that's all commingled. There's a no new set of legal questions, of legal evidence, a possible criminal, all that. The true story. This shit is real. It's complicated. It's emotionally courageous. You know, I made up a word. It's heavy. So when Mr. King, going back to the beginning, saying, hey, you guys, we need generational wealth. We need to do this and that. That's just the beginning. But the fact of what does that look like? How, what happens? And you go and you deal with people doing power of attorney, so on and so forth. Read it. It's not that, I'm not being facetious. It's really not that fucking difficult to read and say, you know, this is not going to affect unless a doctor, blah, blah, blah. So every time someone tries to say, grandma acting up, I'm going to go get power of attorney. Can't do that, bro, bro. You have to take them to a physician, not yours. Can't be no conflict of interest. So there are people that are going to do things to scam and take away from people, but the people that are doing righteousness will run into just the same things if we don't start preparing early and at least understand. So number one, and I'll close on this, please have a medical directive. And within the medical directive, you can even be very, very concise. And you get those from any facility you're with, the hospital that you have right now, your insurance. Just go online, because a lot of us have the portal, and say medical directive. And within that medical directive, you can say, in order for this to become active, I need a doctor to, you know, certify that I'm incapacitated. What that does, it, whether the person with the power of attorney realizes or not, through your medical directive, you're already giving them step two, which is that letter that automatically puts them into the power to be and do and act and make decisions on your behalf. Then the next step, like I said, immediately go get certified. Don't be nervous every time you see a notary do something. When you guys get notaries, something notarized, everyone's irritated, even mine. They ask for 2 sets of ID. They do this. They do that. I told you my friend went to the county recorder's office. The county recorder's office will only give you kind of like, they don't have a duty to investigate if something's fraud or not. So let's just leave it there. But if you're a notary, please take down any and all that information, not necessarily for you or even thinking that these people are fraud, I mean, you're lying or whatever. But the more detail you give, the more that document is protected from any type of fraud. Okay. And again, we talked about that. So there's a lot of heaviness, and I kind of wanted to share with that story, and I'll take some bits and pieces, because looking for my give a fuck is all about looking into things that I have experienced and giving a fuck about it and having to help people navigate through a system that has emotional, financial, legal, medical. It just has everything, possible criminal. How do you deal with that? I don't know. But let's just start with the basics. Let's start with getting the tools that allow you to make that first step, which we normally don't even know how to get, which is certification of a notary. You all have documents that are notarized. If you want to get them certified so that they act when they need to act, they need to be certified. Yeah, you, if you want them to work, you get them certified. And you can get them certified now. You know, and usually in closing, if – what is it? If the notary is still alive, he or she can certify it. But normally that's not the case. So let's just end this, but we're going to talk about it more because it's so important at one time. Let's just end this on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful note that my baby going to have a baby and he going to have some money. I sometimes share with you guys my reactions because I'm not afraid to be, you know, to be honest and to be wrong and to be real. I'm all, like Mr. King says, I'm maybe not be inconsistent with things, but I'm very consistent with who I am, which is kind of sometimes not cool because people think I may say things I shouldn't say and do things I shouldn't do, which I don't really care about. But I'll be honest with you. And when my son really just made me mad, I thought he doesn't need the monies. And I was blind. I swear to God. And mother was like, nigga, we gonna roll. And I mean, I was really having an adult tantrum. And she's like, well, just get over that shit. Be who you are. Understand. Talk about the pain, you know, if need be. But then you have other people that would say that's just not a really good decision. And if it's a decision you stand by saying, you know, I'm not giving my kid anything, that's fine too. But don't take it out of the family. Give it to someone else. Do something else. And we'll talk about that more. More importantly, isn't this weird today? We talked about birth to be, shifting in your medicalness and how that looks and how you're still alive, but directives have to be given to others as you heal before the next level, maybe, or not, I don't know. And then we talked about how do we contain generational wealth, because all this is going to happen. I don't know about you, I'm confused, but I did it. Okay, you guys, I don't think the show will be this long. I accidentally set it for 90 minutes instead of 60, but I'm glad I did. I love my family. I love you. Love you guys. Lee J, I hope you're still ironing and just, you know, we got a special Sunday bond. I hope you guys did learn some stuff. If not, please contact me and I would just provide you with information for the state or city or county that you might be in. Life, you know, if we're blessed to live as we are living long enough, we have to also be blessed to be able to learn and open up and not open up, be aware of changes and the difficulty to make shit move. I'll be honest, in my honest closing. A couple nights I came home real tired, but I was still able to get up. And that's what life is all about, right? I think so. So until next week, I want you guys all to do the damn thing. I'm going to put that music on. And I want you to also, you know, get it together about your stuff. And we'll talk about some websites and some different programs next week, because I do have a particular website that all these documents I talked about can be safely secured up in the internet or whatever, and it won't be as difficult as we talked about today, but at least you know how this works, especially in California. That means in other places it's not that difficult, because California is a piece of heaven who don't give to, what is it? What is it? I forgot my saying. See, that's what you get. Anyway, you guys, have a great, great week. And make great memories and continue to be awesome. And until then, I'm going to turn my music on. And I love y'all. See you next week. Bye. Good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd.